Greetings, galaxy far, far away. Welcome to episode 4 of Shooting the Sith. I am Mr. Tim Tabala. With me is my co-host for today. You know him from Empire 161. You know him from Granny's Peach Tea, Mr. Ed Camus. Ed, what's going on?
What up, Tim? What's going on, man?
Dude, I'm excited. Boba's starting to get getting warmed up a little bit, I guess you should call it. Because it's taking a lot of crap.
Yeah, and it's kind of the reason why I was like really dying to chat with you about this, because it's, yeah, well, we have some things to talk about since we're talking about the last three episodes tonight, and I know we talked about episode 2 together a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you right off the bat then, before we even get into the episodes themselves. What side are you on? I mean, don't get me wrong, you know who the haters are.
Yeah. And I'm not one of them.
But they're Star Wars fans.
Yes.
And they're hating on the goddamn show, and it annoys the hell out of me. Oh. And don't get me wrong, I am not going to sit here and tell you that, because I'll say a certain other person on the Pop Culture Pros Network thinks he's busting my balls by saying that Peacemaker's a better show. Look, Peacemaker's a better show. Yeah, I ain't gonna sit here and lie and be like, oh no, Boba Fett is the greatest show ever made just because it's a goddamn Star Wars show. No, Peacemaker is a better show, but I don't understand the bashing as far as Boba Fett's going on. So, in your opinion, where do you, what's been good about the show? What do you think's been bad about the show? Or just maybe there's nothing bad. Maybe there's, you know, what do you think?
All right. So the first part of your comment, though, and that's what I wanted to just clarify, because I did see that. You know, I'm very rarely on our WhatsApp chat, unless Farachi puts the at Ed Camus. I usually have it on silent because it gets crazy. Yes, I think Peacemaker's a better show, but they're also very different shows. Right. And I'm not just saying it's just kind of, you know, you know that you would agree. I do have a lot. I love Star Wars. I do. You are infinitely more knowledgeable than I am. I wouldn't even like try to compare with that. But yeah, and I'm not going to side it comic book versus Star Wars. But Peacemaker is a fun show. It's a comedy that has like some serious depth to it when you really think about it for a minute. Mm-hmm. And Boba Fett, I think Book of Boba Fett is being asked to do a lot of things. And I think that's what's important to look at. Book of Boba Fett is about, you got a character here that is extremely popular, but really hasn't had a lot of screen time in the movies when you really break it down. A lot of it is probably due to like, yeah, he's a badass bounty hunter who looks really cool. That's probably like a lot of people do it. Now, fans such as yourself, you know, you read the legend stuff and the extended universe, and so you know more depth to the character than someone like myself, who pretty much just watches whatever live action stuff there is, right? So I think that's, and but it's being asked to fill a lot of plot holes, like not plot holes, but you know what I mean. Like the last time we saw him, he fell into the Sarlacc. What the heck happened since then? That's a lot to cover in a TV show.
Yep.
So they're doing that, but also advancing the story that was set up on Mandalorian, because it's also setting up as a spinoff of what we saw him do in season 2 of The Mandalorian. So that's a lot. That's a lot of lifting.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is, you know, and we talked about it on the last episode. I compared it to Arrow, the CW version, you know, CW version show for them, some who might not be familiar, where you had a current storyline running on the same time as a past storyline. And I think that's
which can be rough.
It can be rough. It's very delicate, because even like early seasons of Arrow did it well, and then all of a sudden they didn't. And then, you know, that's a tough task. But my opinion of the show is I think the show has been okay. And I think there's a lot of things I like, and there's a lot of my critique of it is I think the holes it's being asked to fill, I think they can kind of move at a faster pace.
Yeah,
is what I think. That's what I think the critique is.
All right, I get that.
Yeah, you know what I mean. And Sam, you know me. Like, I'm not like, oh, people are talking too much, I'm bored, blah blah blah. I'm not one of those people. That's fine, but I just think they could speed it up a little bit, like get to the point of what it is. And I think they dragged some stuff out, but I like what they're showing. The Tusken Raider stuff works for me. You know, like showing how he got out of the Sarlacc was, I think, something everyone always wanted to see.
And do you think too, because Boba Fett was such a revered character?
Yeah, expectations are high.
people are expecting him to come out of the Sarlacc guns blazing.
Yes.
And just murdering thousands of people because he's Boba Fett. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work like that.
And you know what doesn't help, though, Tim, is that if anyone who's familiar with Robert Rodriguez's past work, it's kind of usually what happens. It's usually, you know, the Desperado movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. You kind of expected Boba Fett to be like the mariachi in those movies.
Yeah, that's true, too.
It hasn't really been it. So I think the expectation was one thing. So that's why
you got expectations of the character.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the comparison to The Mandalorian, which is universally beloved. I've never heard a single person say a bad word about The Mandalorian so far.
No, I can't say I've met. And I know some people who usually shit on things just to shit on them. And they haven't even said anything.
Speaking of that person. Hey, Frank. Oh. And it's Alex. Episode 3 felt like a rerun of a 90s Power Rangers. We're going to get into episode 3, Alex. We're going to do 3 and 4 kind of just the highlights so we can talk about today's episode, which will be a major spoiler review because I said it just came out this morning. We got to give people a chance to watch it. Real quick, though, I want to hit on some kind of Star Wars news. It's not really news. I'm going to just complain for a second. Oh, yes, I can complain too.
Oh,
I can complain too. As you all know, let me flash my little Star Wars news banner up there. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opened up in Florida and in California. It's a major hit. People love it. I haven't gone yet, which is a goddamn crime, but I plan on going this year sometime. But the hotel, Star Wars Galactic Cruiser Hotel, is now taking reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go take out these reservations. And I knew it was going to be expensive.
Oh boy.
But I didn't know it was going to be this expensive. Now, I get it. You go, as soon as you step foot into this thing, you're in this world. Nobody breaks character. They're all around you are bounty hunters and aliens, and they don't break character. They treat you like you're on Star Wars. You step into the ship, you're supposedly taken to your cruiser, and that's it. You don't leave the cruiser. You have an itinerary, too, of all the things you got to do. You eat dinner with fucking aliens and stuff. I get it. It's very, all the food and drinks are included.
The milk is blue.
Cool, right? It's cool. Yeah, you got blue milk. Everything except for liquor is accounted for. And like I said, depending on how you react to people, that's how they react to you, and that's how your storyline. You might be asked to smuggle something in your room, a person even, I heard.
Wow.
So, you know, and so that's cool. All that stuff is like my greatest dream come true.
Uh-huh.
Plus, you get admission to Galaxy's Edge and no line. Well, there is a line, but no lotto for that one ride that no one can get on.
Okay.
You get on that ride. You're guaranteed to get every single ride. A set time to go on, which I think is fantastic. Now, okay. I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. This is the dream.
All right, hold on. Tim, before I want you to I know you know the number.
I know the number.
Let's play the Price is Right game.
Okay, we'll play the Price is Right. So now, now you can only go. I'm going to give you a shot, Ed. I'm going to be Bob Barker here.
Okay, let's go.
It's 2 nights. It's 2 nights, all inclusive. 2 nights, all the food, all the drinks, except for liquor.
Okay.
You have Jedi classes. You have all the stuff. I said the actors are all they can't break character.
Uh-huh.
You can walk out and see a Wookiee. It's going to be a Wookiee. It's not going to be a dude in a suit. You know, he'll growl at you if he has to. And then you get admission to the park for a day, for a couple hours, where you get to go on every ride. You can go make your own lightsaber if you want. We have to pay for that extra, by the way. That's not free. That's not included.
No, of course not.
You go make your own droid. You go to the cantina for a drink. You can get your blue milk. You go back up to the ship.
Blue milk.
2 nights, 3 days, whatever it is. Give me a starting price.
Per person, we're talking about.
For two people.
For two people.
So, it's going to be me and Jax.
Okay.
Me and Jax, we're going to partake on this excursion. Okay. Two people. 2 nights only.
Okay. $3,000 each.
No, higher. Well, not each.
Oh!
Not higher. I mean, higher, but not each. It'll be a combined.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. For two people, as you said, higher. Shit. Wow. $5,000?
Yes.
That's it on the dot.
$4,800. No, I let you round up.
I lost them. Now going over.
$4,800.
Sweet Jesus. $2,400.
And that's for the cheapest room. The tiniest room. By the way, it doesn't have windows. So if you're any at all claustrophobic, you'll die in that room.
That would freak me out a little.
Yeah, because, well, they have like a big screen where you're like looking out into space.
Oh, okay.
But even that might freak you out a little bit.
What if I'm looking at, can I look out my window and be on Tatooine or something?
Maybe. Maybe they have, but you're supposed to be on a cruiser.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
So you're supposed to be floating through space. So wow. It's like, okay. And then, like you said, it's a tiny room. I mean, you have a TV, you can put the TV on and stuff, but it's a tiny room for $4,800. It would cost me and Jax $4,800. Now, a trip to Disney for the four of us to go for a week is about less than $3,000.
Wow, that is tough. That is tough. And so hold on. So this is room. This is all inclusive, I guess you said, like everything.
Drinks, all the food, all the drinks. But you have an itinerary with a lot of activities and stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. It sounds awesome. It really does. But $4,800.
That's a lot. Yeah, you're gonna have, that's a pretty big chunk to.
When you can go to Disney for a week and hit every park for less than that. Like $2,000 less?
Yeah, years ago, right? Like when me and Angie Fred first got together, we went to Florida and we did a whole week. Each day we did a different theme park. Mm-hmm. It was nowhere near this. We stayed outside of Disney, but we did Disney one day. We did, what the hell was it? Both Universal parks. We also did, what the hell was it? The animal one that's down there. What the hell is it? SeaWorld. Yeah. And whatever the hell the other one was, Busch Gardens.
The Busch Gardens. And how much did that cost you?
Nowhere near $2,400 each. Nowhere near. It was pretty sure it was like half or less than half that.
So I mean, as a Star Wars fan, I am kind of ashamed. And you know me, I'm not a Disney basher.
No.
But $4,800 is a ridiculous, and that's for the worst room. But that's like the cheapest, little tiniest cat. If you go online and
do they have two beds?
Oh, no, I think was it two beds?
Do you have to share a bed even?
They do have a loft for like, I would say, Jax, go up in the goddamn loft. I'm gonna sit down here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, wow. It does actually. Yeah. So yeah, that's that. So I was like,
oh my God,
I can't even fathom it. Yeah, Eric, $4,800, Eric.
Well, Eric's making all that money as a farmer these days. So, I mean, maybe not included in that package.
But... Oh, wait, you want to be a space prostitute? That sounds a good way to get on board.
You might have to be a space prostitute to afford it.
Well, that depends on if you see, like me now at my job, I'm working on getting free passes. I don't work for Disney. I work at Disney. So I'm asking people, if I get free passes to go, then yeah, I'm going to stay outside Disney and use my free passes to get into Galaxy's Edge. I'm going to do that for a couple of days. So I'm working on that. But my dream of the hotel, of me being immersed in a galaxy far, far away, has just been shit on, unless for some reason I hit a large Super Bowl box or something along those lines.
Play one of those minute pools, man. Do something.
I have to, 'cause I can't, I can't justify that much. I said, plus, if you want to make your own lightsaber, that's $200. Now, I want to make one. He's gonna want to make one. That's $400.
Like, is it durable lightsabers? Like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you go into a Jedi Master's hideaway.
Oh my god!
And you build it from scratch. You pick your crystal. You put your crystal in. What color you want?
What color would you pick?
Oh, you know I'm going for red.
I know, but I thought you were gonna like go to something else.
Nah, you know I'm going for red. But they got purple. They got purple, white, yellow, red, and blue.
Okay.
They have all the new ones too. So that's $200 a piece.
Wow.
And if you want to build, you want to go build your own droid, you can go build your own archer unit. It's about yay big.
Okay.
You can't see me. And he rolls around on his own. That's another $150, $200.
Dude, I have those little Sphero droid things. I have a couple of them. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with those two. Those are actually still pretty good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I said, I just want to share my shattered dreams.
Oh, wow.
My dreams have been shattered unless I hit a football pool. So let's hope I hit a football pool this year.
Do you have the casting news that that we dropped a day or two ago for Ahsoka?
Which
Mary
one?
Elizabeth Wanstead is going to be in Ahsoka?
Yeah. Who's she going to be?
They didn't say, but I mean.
They didn't say.
She's usually pretty good in everything she's in, though.
Yeah, she's not bad. We're going to talk about that too when it's getting all revved up because I'm getting more excited as these shows go on. But yeah, let's jump into Boba Fett, the hated Boba Fett show.
Oh, wow.
which I'm not going to sit here and defend it. We're going to go over it. We'll talk about it. Like I said, we're going to go through 3 and 4 just the highlights. But we'll talk about today's episode. If you haven't seen today's episode, Go watch it. Come back. Watch us later on. Watch us on YouTube or on the Facebook page, whatever. Today's episode wasn't really a Boba Fett episode.
No,
I guess that's a hint. I guess that's a hint. That's kind of a spoiler. All right, so let's jump in real quick. Episode 3. Episode 3 starts out with Boba Fett going to the Pike Syndicate and bargaining for the rights to his land with the other half of the Tuskens. They want him to pay them to get through their territory for the water. This guy's like, listen, those biker dudes are the ones we pay. You figure it out. By the time Boba Fett gets back, they're all dead. His whole tribe of Tusken Raiders is dead.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. there goes that. So here we have motivation. Here's Boba Fett's motivation, which is pretty cool. Flashback to the present. Well, the present time in the show. He is greeting one of the store owners comes in saying that he's being harassed by this group of bikers. And this is the part that a lot of people have a problem with. I don't care. Like, I just don't care. Like, I don't understand why people have such a problem with it.
Well, what's their problem, though? That's the thing. We got to talk about this.
Yeah. I'll get into it right now. So it turns out that a gang of mod, they call the mod gang. They put mechanical body parts on themselves to make them badass. I guess it's like tattoos, Star Wars tattoos in a way. But they're taking their eyes out and putting mechanical eyes in.
That's kind of how I felt too, because they have like the guy who's like the tattoo parlor dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it seemed like. Oh, we have another guest coming in. Oh, shockingly enough, Mr. Eric Zan, what's up? A newly shaven Eric Zan.
I'm looking at this guy.
Look at this.
It's too clean. I don't like it.
I got to keep my young appearance up for, you know, I can't let people know how old I really am. So
it's the start. I guess I'm used to the hair for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I still got the hair back here.
Did you watch today's episode?
I didn't. I have to watch it. I'm caught up to last week, but I didn't watch today's episode.
All right, you better sign off before we talk about today, because you're not going to want to hear it.
No, I just wanted to pop in and say hi and say that, you know, as much money as that is to dole out for Star Wars, I mean, think about it. Like, how long have fans like us been wanting to do something like this? I mean, if we somehow, like, if 10 grand fell in our lap, like, dude, I would take all you guys down there. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, if big bag of money fell out of the sky tomorrow and hit me in the face, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah.
But I can't justify that much money for 2 days. You know what I mean?
Listen,
you got airfare. You got airfare. Food. You got all this shit you still got to pay for.
Transportation.
You're talking, again, souvenirs. You know, I have to buy stuff.
Yeah, I will too. You're talking
almost 10 grand for a 2-day trip, 3-day trip. Meanwhile, you can go to Aruba for a month on that much money.
I mean,
you can't have blue milk in Aruba, though.
No. That's true, too.
You could go to Jamaica and like sell gold and make more money. You know, I don't know.
What I'm saying. I can't justify it. I can't justify it now. With free money, I'd be like, oh, it's free money. Yeah, sure. So
yeah.
Super Bowl pool is my best shot right now.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. Tell you what, when I buy this farm, when the farm's officially mine, and you know, I make all this money, well, yours, okay, but mine too. I got the fucking look just a minute ago, and when I have the farm and I'm financially set, we're all gonna take the winter because I have the winter off. By then, this is all hypothetical. I'm just making stuff up here.
Of course. You're taking the whole Pop Culture Pros family down there?
Well, I mean, half of them are down there anyway. Me, you, and Ed can just, you know, I'll drive us down, and we'll live it up. We'll be, you know, Ed can dress up as, I don't know. We can all dress up. You could dress up as like Darth. I don't know. We can all pick our, you know,
whatever.
Who gives a fuck? We're fucking in. We're gonna do it. 2 years. Wow. 2-3 years, five. Let's say within 5 years, we got to do this.
Are you going to farm water?
Yes. Yes, I do. I am investing in moisture evaporators. I am.
That's what you need.
I'm going to do it. Well, you know,
Star Wars fan, that's what you must do.
As funny as it sounds, I mean, that's going to be like future farming is water because people are going crazy over water. So I'm right next to a river, so fuck it. I might as well just do something with it. But anyway, guys, I'm going to fly out of here. I just wanted to stop and say hi.
Thanks, Eric.
What's up, dude?
I'll see you Saturday. Are you getting snowed in Saturday, too?
Yeah, I'm getting snowed in Saturday. So
So we'll do Just Too Sweet and do the Royal Rumble picks.
Do the Royal Rumble A to Z is Friday. Don't forget, guys. A to Z.
We'll go on after Granny's PC.
When are you on, Wed?
Saturday we're on 3:00.
Oh, sweet, sweet. So yeah. Friday night A to Z. Saturday we'll follow Granny's PC. Cool.
Yep. Sounds
everybody
good.
Everybody watch. If you don't watch, I will come to your house and eat all your snacks.
He will.
Oh, wow.
I've seen it.
I will too. I'll fucking eat everything. All right. Peace out, guys.
All right. Catch you later.
Man. Take it easy.
Thanks for stopping in. All right. So, where were we now? Oh, yeah. So, yeah. They had the problem with the Mod Gang.
Yeah.
Their bikes. Their speeder bikes. Oh, they look like American Graffiti. Oh, yeah. They don't look like they're supposed to. Not everyone has to have a dirty ass speeder bike.
I don't have any problem with the color of the bikes. I know some people like got their panties all in a bunch just because they were like bright colors. Yeah. Which is a flying fuck, honestly.
Not only that, though, but we'll jump ahead. Who cares? Because we're just doing the highlights.
My concern with that gang, though, is that his hiring of them, Boba Fett's hiring of them, it was very weird. It was like, I hope you guys can fight, but I'm going to hire you.
I think it's just one of those you want to work. Yeah. Will you work for me now?
No, I get that part, but like, if I'm gonna be the crime boss, I'm gonna probably want dudes who I know, because we find out later in the next episode at the end he needs muscle.
Mm-hmm.
You just hired these people; you probably could hire some muscle. Just saying, like, listen, I get he's a new boss. Maybe his interview process needs to improve a little bit. Well, but I would have wanted some people who could throw down, man.
You gotta get the pawns first.
Sure,
I need to say the pawns go first.
Yeah,
you gotta get those low level guys first.
Oh my god! So you get a bunch of X Men: The Last Stand.
That's right, I did.
Evil.
But you have to get those the half robotic teenagers out there first. But they were pretty badass guys though.
No, they were.
Said in the future episode, they were pretty badass. They weren't really bad. But the people had the problem with the speeder chase when they were chasing the mayor's majordomo through the streets. Yeah. Oh, it was too slow. It was the OJ chase. I'm like, all right, let's calm the hell down. If that's what you have to bitch about, you got way too much free time on your hands.
Did you not think it was a little slow?
It was slow, but I mean, it wasn't like they weren't zipping through the desert. They were zipping through a city.
I often criticize chases on film when people look like they're not running hard, but yet it's supposed to be like an intense thing. I do that all the time, though, so whatever. I can forgive it for that. It could have been shot better. I agree with that.
Yeah,
but again, it didn't kill the episode for me.
Oh no, but everyone would have killed it. I think that was the worst thing that happened to Star Wars since Episode 9, according to some people.
Oh my, that's extreme.
And people are just like really on my nerves about it. Like I said, we'll do highlights. The Hutts twins show up, which I dig these Hutt twins, man. Are they like fused together, or don't just their fat asses sit together? I can't figure that out yet.
Fat asses sit together. I don't think they're fused together, like conjoined twins.
It looks like they're stuck together.
They could know. Be. This is lazy, man.
Anyway, the Hutts show up, and they're the ones who say, listen, we're out of here. We're not the ones you got to worry about. We apologize for sending Black Chrysanthemum to kill you, who, by the way, he's about to release back to him. That's the big Black Wookiee, in case anybody didn't know who that was. We apologize. Our gift to you is Danny Trejo.
Yes.
Bringing a Rancor, another Rancor monster to Boba Fett as a gift, which I thought was pretty cool. And as soon as I saw Danny Trejo, I said, now that makes sense.
Yes, because Robert Rodriguez, of course you knew Danny Trejo was coming.
But it made sense that he's the Rancor guy.
Yes, of course.
Like, it makes perfect sense. Like he couldn't be anybody else. I said, a Rancor Wrangler. So he gets the Rancor gift, and the twins tell him, listen, we're out of here. This is not what we want. This is bullshit. You got to worry about the Pikes. And the other three territories all got to worry about this. We don't want to do it. He tries to give the Wookiee back. They say, no, keep him as a tribute. And Boba Fett lets him go. Says, listen, dude, go on your own. No hard feelings. It's just business. Let's just move on.
He tells him to quit bounty hunting.
Yeah. He says, don't stop working for morons.
Yeah.
And then I got, this is the part that was a little, if I had to pick a part that kind of, not really creepy, but kind of like, all right, here we go, was Boba Fett's interaction with the Rancor. It was too.
He loves that thing.
He loves this thing already.
He loves that thing already.
It's like not like seeing a puppy for the first time.
That was what he was seeing. He was seeing like a puppy. He wants to ride it. He was like, very...
I want to ride it.
Yes, he was all about that thing, man. I want to see him ride it.
I don't know. I want to see that. If there's a final battle and he's not riding that Rancor, then I'll say, okay, this show is a disappointment this year. He better be riding that Rancor into a battle.
Oh, I want to see him full armor on top of it, like shooting a gun up at it. No, like that's what I want to see. And like the finale.
That'd be pretty goddamn cool if it, I'll tell you that right now. What's the other ones? That was really the end for that whole episode, really. There really wasn't too much going on.
Yeah, it had people jumping off the house about stupid shit, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's always
I will say, though, it was my least favorite episode of the season. But, I mean, if we have to, like, compare all the episodes, I think it was my least favorite of the season. But then picked up a notch in episode 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of notches.
Yeah, that's true, too. All right, so episode 4, which I'm trying to find my notes here. Hang on 1 second. Please be patient with me. Where the hell is my notes?
The notes.
I had my notes here somewhere. But I mean, you can see where the people got to really just calm the fuck down, man.
Yeah, you're just complaining to complain if you're complaining about the colors of stuff.
Well, 4 was the one where we finally got to see a little bit of the timeline. Because we're trying to figure out when the hell this is all happening. And Boba Fett's line was, that's where I was, when him and he, remember this is the episode where him and he shows how he rescues Fennec Shan, which obviously took place in The Mandalorian where he got shot in the gut. He rescued her, brought her to one of those mod places, got her all roboticed up. Mm-hmm. She's all good to go. She decides she wants to stick with him. He said, I'll let you go if you help me get my shit back. And she's like, no, I'll hang out with you. We'll hang out. We'll be cool. But he also said the words that I've been wanting to hear from the first one. That's what when he goes back to the Sarlacc in the ship, he rescues the ship from Jabba's palace.
Mm-hmm.
He says, this is where I was trapped all those years ago. That's the line. Now, but one thing that has not clarified, was he in the Sarlacc pit for years?
I don't think so. I think
he was with the Tusken for years.
I think he was with the Tusken for years.
Yeah, that's got to be it. I mean, it could be both.
Yeah.
They always said the Beskar is the only thing that kept him alive.
Yeah, because otherwise he would have been like, yeah, I guess the insides and stuff, the way things, living things digest things would have fucking destroyed him.
Yeah, he would have been liquefied.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Props to the Beskar again.
Beskar's awesome. I'm gonna buy Beskar on Amazon later. they have it. They have little Beskar chips you can buy. It's pretty funny. Yeah, so now we see him, he gets his ship back. It's not Slave One anymore. You can't call it Slave One. You have to call it the fire spray. Yeah,
I kind of like Fire Spray, though. I mean, whatever.
Well, that's just the model. That's not the name of the ship. You can't call it Slave One nowadays. Yeah. So that's just a big no-no.
Well, I never understood the name, though, either.
I never understood, honestly, either.
I was going to ask you about that. I
never got it.
So I thought maybe it was attached to where he got the ship or something. I never got the name, but I was like, whatever.
I actually never got it either. It didn't make any sense to me at all whatsoever. My favorite scene in this episode, however, and some people need explaining, some people don't. He heads over to the bar, the little bar run by Jennifer Beal, and I haven't got her name down yet. Everybody else's name, I'm trying to. You know, I watched the show, by the way, on with subtitles.
Do you really?
The first time, so I can start catching names and things and descriptions, because you catch a lot. You actually catch a lot with the subtitles on. Then I'll watch it again with no subtitles, kind of just so I can enjoy it more.
I can't handle it because I start reading the subtitles and I don't watch the show.
Yeah, I do a little. I try to do both because it's a lot to catch.
Yeah.
But my favorite scene of this was Chrysanthemum in the bar and just staring at those Trandoshans, man. Mm-hmm. And again, if you need a history, they don't get along, those two species. And Trandoshans are known as Wookiee hunters. They're very proud of taking the Wookiees' pelts and wearing them and giving them out like fur coats like we do on this planet to the women and stuff. So he was just sitting there teething. Couldn't even take it. And then he whoops the shit out of 2 of them. Got that last one. He thinks he can talk them down.
Uh-huh.
Nope. Rips his arm off. Wookiee style. My favorite.
Naturally.
That was my favorite scene in that episode. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, I would say that was my favorite scene. I also really liked seeing the relationship build between Fennec and Boba Fett because, like, again, in the Mandalorian, they kind of just show up. It's like they're saved, and then he just shows up and like, all right, what the hell happened? So, again, the show's being asked.
Oh, by the way, I'm with Boba Fett now. Yeah, it's like, oh, by the way, I'm with Boba Fett now. All
right. It's like, okay, sure. And I like to see the way that relationship was built up and stuff like that, and to know that Fennec has, like, cyber parts with her and stuff like that, besides just being super badass.
Yeah, that she's, you know, she's gonna be his number two, which is cool too. Even though she didn't want to at first, kind of turned him down.
Yeah, well, but, that's yeah. her number. That's his number one.
Number one guy.
Number one guy.
But yeah, I thought she's doing a great job too. I know she's been a huge Star Wars fan for her whole life, so
yeah.
I'm sure she's having a ball doing the show. Now don't forget, these are all Robert Rodriguez episodes. Yeah. Then you jump to today's, ladies and gentlemen. Today's episode 5, Return of the Mandalorian. You don't see Boba Fett one goddamn time in this episode today, people.
No.
This has nothing to do with Boba Fett's storyline until the last 30 seconds of the show.
No, so I want to ask you then, I guess this.
And directed by Bryce Dallas Howard.
Which, by the way, she's like arguably become like my favorite Star Wars director, because I want to see her do a movie now at this point, because I feel like every episode she does for the, like in this is usually my favorite episode of it's close to being my favorite episode of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, but so talking about this, right? So when I texted you earlier, this is like an episode of The Mandalorian. Now, if we're talking about it as an episode of the Book of Boba Fett, does that, as great as an episode it is, but it's not really advancing the story of what we're watching?
No.
It's kind of just seemed like it was a huge trailer for the Mandalorian episode 3. And I'm not complaining, because I was like, I was eater at a stupid grin on my face watching this whole thing. But
yeah, I'm thinking after the opening scene, that's when Fennec was going to walk in and say, oh, by the way,
yeah,
we need your help. And then that's where the episode's going to take. No, left turn, complete left turn. So let's talk about that real quick. Again, it opens up, which I love the way these guys are exploring the galaxy. They showed us a boxing match. They've showed us underground fighting. They've showed us bars. They've showed us all the shit. Today, we open up in 1976 Philly in Paulie's Meat Shop. That's exactly what it looked like.
That's what it did look like.
I was waiting to see Rocky in the back punching some meat hanging from the ceiling. Guys even had those old school hats on, these aliens. It was fantastic. We open up on this butcher shop, and here he comes, Din Djarin, wearing the Mando, full-on Mando. He got the spear. He got everything. He's looking good. Rolls in there, says, you know, you owe somebody some money. The famous line comes out, I can take you in warm, I can take you in cold. Oh, here we go. This shit's going to get real. It's going to get real. And the one thing we didn't expect, well, I didn't expect him to pull it out. You know what I'm talking about. No, I'm not talking about that, you pervert. I'm talking about the Darksaber. He whips out the Darksaber of all weapons to fight off these aliens, which, Ed, what were you thinking when he pulled that thing out?
Like my head was exploding. I was like, holy shit, fucking Mando is going crazy on these dudes with the Darksaber. I temporarily forgot he had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, holy shit. And the way he does it, dude, he slices a guy in half.
And
shows up with a head.
And the guy that he needed, he cut him right in half. And but the best part is, he cut himself with the Darksaber.
Yes.
Which proves that he's not up to par yet as far as wielding this thing, because this thing is basically a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And you can't just pick up a lightsaber and think you're the man, because you'll die. You'll cut something off. You'll definitely cut something off. So he ended up cutting himself up. And I love the speech he gives these guys. Listen, your boss is dead. I basically have his head in his bag. He's got money. You want it? Let me go. And they're like, see ya. See you later. Just walk by. So he goes to the client. The client's like, listen, I got more work for you. He's like, no, give me my info. The info happens to be what we see pre Vizsla. What's it, Vizsla? What? I always forget his name too now. I know
they were trying to bully him into having dinner with him, by the way.
Yeah, well, what's that all about?
Yeah, I know. They were really insisting on it. It was like, are you guys just trying to get him to take his damn helmet off again? And that's it. I think
that's probably what it was. What's his name? It's not pre Vizsla. What's his name? Oh, Paz Vizsla. I'm sorry, Paz. He stumbles upon Paz Vizsla and the armorer, and living in some basement, Freddy Krueger style, down there doing their Mandalorian thing, which is kind of weird. Paz Vizsla heals him, and the big argument comes in about he whips the Darksaber out, and Paz Vizsla got real excited because he's the ancestor of the famous Pre Vizsla, who was the Mandalorian Jedi who created the Darksaber. So right away he wants it. And even the armor is like, You got to win it by combat. You don't win it by combat, you can't have it. So, Ed, did you think there was going to be a fight right off the bat, or?
I thought there was, especially, but there was a lot of conversation. They kept emphasizing how, like, you know, to get it by combat. And we know what happened with Bo-Katan, and, you know, she gets it all the time, and it gets gifted. You apparently it turns into the wrong fucking hands. But yeah, I thought we were going to get it right away. Plus, he seemed very eager to get down, like, right now. He wanted to do it. And yeah, they just fucking go at it right there. That's it. Combat's there. Din Djarin's like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. Let's do it right now. But there was training before that, though, too, because, like, right? Like, the training scene was before that where she was training him with the Darksaber, and he was, like, I learned some stuff. Like,
she was screaming all heavier. Yeah, she was screaming all the moves out. I'm not going to say all the moves. Like I said, I watched it with the subtitles.
Yeah, I'm going to butcher it.
Everything she was saying was a move. Like,
okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
Everything was like a three-letter word for him to strike a certain way.
But I thought it was so interesting, though. It was like, it gets heavier with everything, which we don't think we've ever really seen that before.
No, but there was an old thing where they said that lightsabers, which, I mean, Han Solo disproves that right away in Empire Strikes Back. Normal people can't just pick up a lightsaber and use it because they're supposed to be really heavy. So it's kind of like only a Jedi or a Sith can really do it. But Han Solo said, no, I can use it because I'm Han Solo. I mean, I don't know if that's the case. You know, Finn picked it up, but then again, Finn's supposed to be a Jedi.
He's force sensitive.
Anyway, we'll skip over that part. But yeah, I like that too. The fact it was getting heavier, it's getting heavier.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool. It's a cool little, you know. She tells him, no, it's getting heavier because you're not concentrating. You're not. What was the exact words? So I only watched this episode once. I should have watched it again.
Before. He was saying something. He kept on emphasizing that he was focused, that he was there.
Yeah.
But we also, though, because we kind of did skip over the part, though, where he is on the economy flight, which, by the way, I thought that scene was hilarious. And I saw it coming from a mile away that he had to take out all his weapons. And meanwhile, he's, like, pulling out 1,000 different things and stuff like that. And it's like, listen, I know everything that's in there, so don't steal any of my shit. But you can tell throughout the episode, though, he has Grogu on his mind. Because he keeps mentioning that. And I think that's when we get to the scene where he's wielding the Darksaber and doing the training, and she's telling him, yeah, you're unfocused. We know that he's kind of got Grogu on the mind, you know? Like, he's worried about him and stuff, so. And when he misses him, you know?
Oh, poor little Grogu. And that's the one part we skipped over. Yeah. He had the big staff that he got from Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And she said, Beskar is not supposed to be a weapon. It's supposed to be armor. What do you want to do with it? I want you to make a little armor. Who's this for? A foundling. A specific foundling.
The foundling.
So we know Grogu's getting some Beskar armor.
I want to know what it is because they wouldn't show what. It's a tiny little thing, but like, what is it though?
Dude, like a little vest, like a little bulletproof, like a boss man vest.
No, that would be fucking awesome. That would be awesome.
A little Beskar vest for Grogu, a little Beskar black vest. That'd be pretty awesome, actually.
Angie was throwing it out there. Like, did you think he had her put it down to like a small ball? Like he was obsessed with the knob and he gave a Beskar knob that he could like throw at people and shit.
Dude, that'd be actually pretty cool.
Force-sensitive, like, wham!
Yeah, and Beskar will definitely hurt somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He can be pretty dangerous with that thing.
That's actually pretty awesome. That's a good idea.
Right? Yeah.
But yeah, the training was pretty cool. And it turns out, like you said, he's very distracted. They know he's distracted. And then it comes down to, at the end of that fight, have you ever taken your helmet off? And there's that pause. Like, up, oh, man. Shit, here we go. Have you ever taken the helmet off? And he said, yes. Bam, you are no longer a Mandalorian. Basically, take your shit and get out. Yeah. I don't think that's the end of it, because he does wield the Darksaber.
Well, he also, but his comeback, though, is that he says that he has done it. How can I redeem myself?
Yeah.
And she tells him to go to, you might know the name of it better than me, the waters in Mandalore?
Yeah, the waters underneath the Mandalore, or a mountain or some shit.
Yeah, something like that. So he has to go to Mandalore and redeem himself, pretty much, at some point. And, yeah, and then she just... Like you, there's something about the way she says this is the way, but it sounds like somewhat condescending at times. And because he's like waiting for the answer, and she's like, well, this is the way.
This is the way. If you want to do it, this is the way.
Go for it, buddy. You know, that's it.
Like she has no faith in him. She has no faith.
Oh, she shits on him constantly, but it's kind of funny though. But I don't know. I think she has some belief in him, but she's got to train the guy. Like, we kind of forget that Din Djarin seems to be, he's a badass, but in the context of being a Mandalorian, like within his own house, they kind of see him as like he's still kind of new at this thing. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the galaxy is scared shitless of him.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's interesting.
It is interesting, very interesting. Like you said, anyway, he leaves there, ends up he gets a message from our old friend on Tatooine. Again, Tatooine's the center of the universe. It's the biggest shithole there is. Is it? From Peli, old Peli friend. She has a replacement for the Razor Crest, so he hops on the bus. I'm going to call it the bus, the train, the local flight to Tatooine.
You got to learn a lot about transportation.
Yes.
In this episode.
By the way, that ship is definitely Carillion made because it looks like the back looks like a big Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Especially with the ramps, it looks just like one. So I'm pretty sure that ship's going to be Carillion made. Yeah, it shows up there. She says, I have a replacement for you. Open it up, and surprise number one, it's a Naboo starfighter from episode one, The Phantom Menace. And he's like, what is this piece of shit? It's like, no, this is like hardcore. Dude. She sells them big time. It's pre-Empire, so it's not registered. All these parts are man-made, not by a droid. This thing's going to be incredibly fast. And he's like, I don't know. He wants his money back. And she said, well, let me finish making it. So then you get the big Rocky montage scene where they put the ship together. And then he takes it out. What happened to the droid? She took the droid socket out. I guess that's going to be where the prisoner's going to sit.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, where is the second? He's got to have a passenger seat or something. Or down the line, he's probably thinking, too, what about Grogu? I'm going to get the guy back at some point. He needs to chill with me somewhere.
Well, I don't think that ship's going to last long. I think he's going to end up. So? You know why? Because if he's going to stay a bounty hunter, like the Razor Crest had the carbon freeze thing with all the racks and the guns, and that starfighter can't fit shit in it.
Razor Crest is pretty badass. Yeah. So you think he gets a Razor Crest again or something
He has got another ship like that. Okay. That ship's too small.
Where
are you going to stick a body?
No, you're right. You got to think of bounty hunter things.
Yeah, unless he's going to stick him where the droid uses it, which is really uncomfortable when you think about it. That's not that big of an opening.
Throw him in a can. Who cares?
It's gonna look like a kid or like an adult when they go into that McDonald's thing and they stick their head up and they look like they're gonna get stuck. That's exactly what it's gonna look like. Like an adult in a McDonald's jungle gym stuck in that stupid thing. That's how it's gonna look. Anyway, he takes down a nice little flight, man. And said it is fast. And he actually takes it through Beggar's Canyon, which is legend. Of course, we all know Beggar's Canyon, famous. Episode 4, Luke Skywalker used to do that in Beggar's Canyon, and we got to see a Womp Rat.
Yes, we did.
He was supposed to be a Womp Rat since T-16 back home. That's exactly what we got to see. Yeah, man, I thought that was a great shot. But, you know, how can the Mandalorian get away with stuff like that? But Boba Fett can't. You want to know why? Banthas aren't sexy.
It's true.
Banthas are not sexy. Naboo starfighters are sexy.
And I don't think you see a lot of them. I'm assuming these people don't see a lot of them flying around like that anymore.
You know, when you really do think about it, that's one thing I'll agree with. Him on the Bantha for 20 minutes is like, no. It's just like Game of Thrones. Speed it up. I didn't mind the speed up Game of Thrones. I got tired of them traveling for 3 episodes. Same way. Speed this shit up.
No, but I just want to see him on the Bantha, like, already at the fight. I don't want to see him riding anyone else. He's already in fight. That's it.
Exactly. Skip that bullshit and get right into the main stuff. That's what's so good at Game of Thrones. They fast forward all that bullshit. And now we're gonna make fast travel like a video game. We're gonna have fast travel in this game. So that was pretty cool. What are we up to that point then? But I said I love the fact that Bryce Dallas Howard did this one too.
Yeah, because she did in season 2 of The Mandalorian, she did the AT-AT episode.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which I mean, nothing's gonna beat the finale of season 2. Season 2 finale was phenomenal, but that episode was badass. That was one of my favorite episodes of season 2. So it seems like she knows her shit, man. Like she does a great job with this stuff.
And we finally got to see Jawas in a good light, somewhat.
We got to see she was talking about she was dating a Jawa at one point, and it's like she's Jawa. Talking Jawa.
Dated about how that works? I don't know.
And she says they're furry.
I don't know. That's kind of gross to me, but whatever.
Oh, extremely. And then I just I'm thinking to myself when they're dating, do things happen? And they're like, Utini!
That's really crazy. Yeah, because they're actually very helpful. They're like, oh, they can find anything they want. They'll find anything, anytime, anywhere, and they found what they needed.
Yeah,
got exactly what they had for that chip, and they did it, which I thought was pretty cool. Again, leave the Sand people and the Jobbers alone. They're people too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them alone. So yeah, that was really much all episode. It was a Mandalorian episode. No Boba Fett whatsoever.
Well, Fennec shows up at the end, though.
Fennec shows up at the end, though, and says, yeah. Are you for hire? We have a job. Throws her the coins. He says, this one's on me. I pretty much owe you. But, and here comes the big line that I'm sure everybody said, I have to go visit a little friend first.
Yes.
Now, what do you think? Are we getting this next week? Or is that going to be a Mandalorian thing? It has to be next. Like, in other words, are they going to... Is he actually going to visit Grogu next week and then on Boba Fett? Or are they going to save that for Mandalorian and just go skip right to him coming back and joining Boba Fett and Fennec?
All right. All right. I know what you mean now. I think they're going to skip back to it, and then we'll get a backfill episode in Mandalorian. Because I think if you had two episodes or an episode and a half of all Mandalorian with no Boba Fett, again, if we're judging the Book of Boba Fett as a series, you're like, well, you took an episode and a half off to kind of do Mandalorian stuff.
Yeah.
And then you jump back to this. So, yeah, maybe it'll be him just returning. Or he'll return some point in next week's episode. But I think Mando's going to be around for the last couple episodes. And they'll do what they got to do.
And what do you think, too? The armor, actually, again, she knew he was distracted, like you said. She even told him, Jedi doesn't want you there. Meaning Luke, especially. Yeah. They're not allowed to have attachment. They're not allowed to have friends or and he's just like, well, I don't give a shit. And
well, he kept on emphasizing, yeah, that's the exact opposite of our way. Like,
yeah,
the way is not about that shit at all. So we're in about being loyal and with our people and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting because, you know, we know Grogu's probably being trained certain ways by Luke and everything. Does that mean we're going to see more Luke?
Willing to bet money on it.
Yeah. I mean,
I haven't heard anything. There's not a spoiler. I'm willing to bet that because it worked so well, they're going to end up bringing, and now they're going to bring back, I think, a ton of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who, but I think they're going to bring back a bunch of people. But let me ask you one other question, though. We know Mando's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors are you might see another couple more bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back show up as far as muscle for Boba. Anybody you'd like to see in particular? Not just bounty hunters, but anybody. He's going to have him, Fennec, the Mod Squad. That's what I'm calling them, the Mod Squad.
Yeah, why not?
The Gamorreans, Mando, and Chrysanthin. He's going
to
have him.
Chrysanthin has to be one of the guys. They're not going to just introduce him and then he leaves and that's it. No, he'll be one of his hired muscle, I think.
By the way, his famous scar
for back
was given to him by a certain Jedi who lives in Tatooine out in the Dune Sea.
Who's there right... Oh, who was there in the past?
Yes.
Really?
In the comics.
Okay.
Obi-Wan gave him that scar.
Okay, I was going to say, are we going to see him and Obi-Wan then?
Might. If they want to show how he got that scar. You know how I got these scars?
Yeah.
Fucking Jedi. Fucking Jedi out in the desert. But yeah.
Old Ben Kenobi.
That's what it was. So that's comic book lore.
Okay.
If they're going to show that, I have no idea. But that's something cool to even think about.
Well, they borrowed a lot of stuff from what you mentioned, though. They borrowed a lot of it from the comics and stuff. Like, it seems like Filoni and Favreau are handpicking what they want to use, cool shit that they like, and they're throwing it into canon now. So,
and you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with a badass Wookiee. Because I mean, no offense to the other Wookiees, but they're mostly like good guys, heroes, and this dude's like, no, that ain't me.
No, this is a very different Wookiee that we're getting.
I'll tell you your arm off with not even thinking about twice, which I think is awesome.
I love the fact he tore somebody's arm off.
Yes, he had, and they showed it, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So that's the group we have so far. I personally, I don't know. I don't know who else we're gonna show up. He doesn't have too many friends, but then again, money buys friends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's what we're learning, that they're gonna probably start just hiring people. Nobody specifically that I'm thinking that were. That Vader was the group that Vader had in Empire Strikes Back, but he's
all except IG-88, because he's if you're going by legend, but by lore, whatever you want to call it, canon, the word IG-88's already dead. So you got Bosk, Zuckuss, Forlom, Dengar, which I think Dengar's a major possibility. He's probably the one that I would put money on.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all of them. The rest of them. Bosk showing up would be interesting because of Chris Anton.
Okay.
Because Bosk is the champion of killing Wookiees.
So
he's probably the most decorated Trandoshan as far as Wookiee killing. So that'd be a nice dynamic to have on that show.
Do you think there's any chance we see like a Bo-Katan though again? And is that in Book of Boba Fett? Do you think she's more being saved for season three?
Unless Mando calls her.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking though. Maybe he might, because they mentioned her a couple of times throughout the episode, and I'm like, usually you kind of just want to be name dropping a couple of times if there wasn't something up.
But she doesn't really like Boba because she knows he's not real Mandalorian. Remember, they had that conversation.
Yeah, she says that he's like, you know, they're fanatics and stuff. And
yeah, you're just pretending. You're wearing the armor and you're pretending. And
yeah,
so I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong.
But he's seen her do Mando shit.
Mando's the one who would have to call her, though.
Yeah, of course. No, because Boba Fett really doesn't have any connection to her whatsoever.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get Bill Burr. We'll come back. Oh, you don't know.
He's always welcome to come back. I mean,
they're going to bring him back for season three of Mandalorian.
Did you see the rumors that were flying out there, though, that about possibly, because, you know, there's the whole, obviously, Rangers of the New Republic was supposed to be centered around, like, Gina Carano and stuff, and she's gone now. But they were talking about maybe that Bo-Katan would be getting her own series.
Yes.
She would be replaced. Maybe they would put her character in the Rangers of the New Republic series or something like that.
Oh, I heard even maybe Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Would be the new Ranger of the New Republic guy.
Yeah. And I always was on the impression, we talked about this previously though. Like,
yeah,
he was supposed to be on the show. We were on the same. He would be one of the people that it would center around.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like Bo-Katan got so much, you know, attention in season two of Mandalorian. At the end, she became such a big figure. And plus, you got Katie Sackhoff to come back and do, like, live action. Kind of feel like you're going to do a little bit more with that.
I think we're going to get the Liberation of Mandalore.
Okay.
I really do. I think we're going to get that. And I also think we're going to get Crimson Dawn from Solo, yeah, that group. Okay. At this point, Darth Maul's definitely dead at this point in time. But who knows who we had, you know. But I think we're going to get Crimson Dawn, though. I think they're the biggest, baddest out there right now. Now, the one other big rumor, again, with everything's a rumor nowadays, mm-hmm, is the Black Sun. The Black Sun is another organization that was headed up by Prince Xizor. And he's another famous Legends character. He might make a pop-up. They might bring him in at some point, which, again, would be pretty cool because he has pheromones to lure chicks in. He almost got Princess Leia with that. Almost.
Oh, wow.
Almost.
Okay. Almost.
So,
see, Han didn't need that.
But I think Crimson Dawn. I think Crimson Dawn is going to be the big baddies. Who's going to be in front of them? I don't know.
Okay.
I said Darth Maul has to be dead at this point.
Yeah.
Well, he is dead at this point. So I don't know. But I'm very interested to find out. I think, like you said, I think they're going to... I think Mando next week is just going to show up. Yeah, I got my business done with that dude. I'm good. Because if not, you're trying to show him to the Mando show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think, but now, and I'm not going to complain if they show that. If they decide, hey, we're going to do another Mando episode, or at least the first half of it's going to be, I would love to see it so I don't have to wait. But,
yeah,
again, talking about the show is called The Book of Boba Fett. I mean, this really would be a huge sidetracking thing that goes on out of nowhere. Season three of Mandalorian is supposed to be what, like later this year, or is it
later this year? Later this year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So Obi-Wan would be next, and then
there's a Book of Boba Fett, Obi-Wan, and then we'll get Mandalorian probably in the fall, like we usually do.
Yeah, either late December, or early January.
Okay.
I think that's what they said. I think.
Because I'm sure they're also going to schedule it around the Marvel shows because now that they got. So they're not going to put those on at the same time.
No.
Although they'll make sure that they run back to back, if anything. Because they got to keep guys like us hooked in.
Well, yeah, so I like what they got going right now. You got Boba Fett on Wednesday, you got Peacemaker on Thursday.
Yeah.
I think every day should be another show that you should drop like that. It's just keep you occupied. It's fun. Yeah. Anything else from this episode? I mean, I'm sure everyone right now is calling this one the best episode of Boba Fett, even though it had nothing to do with Boba Fett, unfortunately.
I actually think it was, I saw the tweet. I saw John Campy had tweeted out earlier. like before I got to see the episode too, it was just like all the Book of Boba Fett had to do to pick it up was become the Mandalorian. And then I was like, oh, so he just shows up, which we kind of figured with the music at the end of the previous episode. But when I'm yeah, like it was said, I'm watching, I'm like, holy shit, this is the fucking Mandalorian. Like I had to like double check, and like, did I make sure this wasn't like a secret, just one off episode?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But so, there's eight, right? There's going to be eight episodes. So we got 6, 7, and 8 to go.
Yep.
So
and supposedly Robert Rodriguez said 7 and 8 are going to blow your mind off. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe that's where he's mariachi shit comes to pass.
Oh my God, that would be fantastic.
But like we said, if I don't see Boba Fett riding a Rancor, I'm going to be very upset.
I'm going to be hugely disappointed if we don't get that in the final, in the, like the finale or something.
Jetpack or not, I want to see him on top of a goddamn Rancor.
Oh, fighting. For sure. No, I want to see, I'm telling you, full armor on top of it, like shooting the blaster up or something like that. Like something really insane.
That would be awesome. I can only dream. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. We got a good hour. Got 3 episodes in. That's pretty good. Next week, episode 6. What the hell's going to happen? Who is he recruiting? We don't know. But I'm very pumped up to find out. Make sure you click on all our shows. Tomorrow night is Thursday on Sportsmanlike Conduct. Join me and Farachi for all your football, the world famous football picks, which I didn't do good last week. Bills.
Well, how did you do last week?
2-2.
Same here.
Yeah, 2-2. I had the Packers, who just disappointed me, and I had the Bills. I picked Cincy and I picked the Rams, so that's good.
Okay.
And they want me money too, which was more important. So yeah, unfortunately, tomorrow, Friday night, I'll be Ed McManning, the A to Z program with Eric. Saturday, 3 o'clock, Granny's PC, which we're up to forever.
Episode 50 of Granny's PC. This is the big one. This is a landmark episode. We're joining the 50 Club now.
The 50 Club. That's so, we got to get your little jackets, little hats.
Yeah, a little, some crap like that. But yeah, we're going to be covering, Tim will be on with us, and so will Ginny from 00 Deep Dive. We'll be talking about Batman Forever as we continue our Batman rewatch leading up to The Batman. We'll also be talking about the latest episode of Peacemaker and the latest CW-verse stuff. So, you know, come check that out. If any crazy trailers drop that are comic book related, we usually open with that. So, yeah, come check us out. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to be snowed in, so it'll be a fun day to do just fucking shows all day.
Yep.
Maybe we'll just do a random show for no reason.
We'll create one and just do it at 1 o'clock.
What the hell? Why not? Yeah, then following that, we're doing Just Too Sweet Show, our Royal Rumble special, where hopefully we get enough people to buy into our Royal Rumble pool. I'm going to do all the picks live, pick all the numbers, who got who, write it down. And then the Royal Rumble is Saturday night, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Not much to talk about. It's the Royal Rumble. The most exciting thing is the Rumble itself.
Virgil can win, though.
Exactly. But who's going to show up? Who's not going to show up? Any surprises? We don't know. We'll talk about it, though. And then next week, we start all over again. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, iHeart, whatever. We're everywhere. PopCulturePros.com. Click on the links. Like us. Love us. That's it. Do it. Because we're good. We're that damn good.
Do it.
That's right. Do it. So remember, guys, next week we'll be back. Boba Fett and also Ed. Never tell me the odds, all right?